This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Michelle Norris. Officials in New England are voicing concern about syrup. Thanks to the low-carb diet fad, there's been a severe drop in maple syrup consumption around the country. My colleague Robert Siegel traveled to the Green Mountain State to look into the consequences of the slump. He found a rich tradition in decline.
Long lingering shadows skate across the frozen woods. Spring belies the calendar here. It won't shine on these northern forests for weeks to come. The days are getting longer, but for Vermont maple sap farmers, there are trees to tap before they sleep. Even with demand for maple syrup at an all-time low, some farmers still release the sap that has built up over the winter. They're the prudent ones. While most of the nation savors its golden pancake topping as a treat, up in New England, that end product is just part of the story.
All right there, Harvey, open the valve. She's arising.
Got it here. Got it, move back there.
The Grisham family lives on 100 acres of prime maple sapland. The farm hides in a grove of trees that have stood here since King George granted a Grisham ancestor rights to the land in 1773. The family has been tapping trees and boiling sap into syrup ever since here in North Fretford. But now, after production has declined by a steep 58%, the process is all the more precarious. An untapped tree is a time bomb ready to go off.
Watch it! Be careful there!
Untapped maple trees can explode like gushers, causing injury and sometimes death. If untended, quiet stands of nature's sweeteners can turn into spindly demons of destruction. The Vermont Health Board reports 87 fatalities, 140 maimings, and a dozen decapitations from sap buildup explosions this year. That's the highest ever.
The force of the sap coming up is just too much for the tree. And as the pressure mounts, you get what we call an arbor explosion. In layman's terms, the tree blows up.
Professor George Croft teaches arboreal thermodynamics at the University of Northeastern Central Vermont's southwestern campus. He says people these days discount the destructive power of an engorged maple, unlike earlier peoples of the area.
The Indians, of course, knew what the maple trees did. And the Indians used to bleed them all the time, but they never passed that on to the Puritans, who were utterly surprised and sometimes badly hurt. The Puritans, when they finally figured out that they needed to bleed the trees, they found out that the sap, the maple syrup, was sweet and therefore sinful.
Which some theorists believe contributed to the decline of Puritanism in New England.
Take it slow there.
The sweetness that millions have welcomed on the breakfast plate has turned here to a bitterness that pours sadness on the heart.
I better back off on that.
Ernest Tilley stands about 4'6". His sandpaper chin hangs like an anchor below a set of sad eyes set deep in a round face. A man of few words and fewer intelligible ones, Tilley stands over a project that he'd rather not be working on. It's a simple wooden coffin made of maple planks. It's for his son, Mackenzie, a quiet boy. He'd returned from college last month and was helping his father with chores, not realizing that the maples he had climbed as a child had reached and passed the tapping point.
Tried to tell him that he shouldn't be out there in the woods like that, but he was stubborn. He was stubborn, and he also didn't know the potential of those trees.
The deadly blast of a maple tree explosion can be heard for 20 miles away, they say. These hills are natural amplifiers, and that resonance, rich as a symphony written in splinters, has captured the imagination of folklorists.
There is something sort of otherworldly about the sound of a maple exploding.
The Vermont Maple Museum collects rare recordings of forest explosions from the 1930s before modern tapping technology made most woodland safe. The recordings are well known in Europe. Ned Lamont is curator.
Most of the recordings we have were actually collected by accident. There'd be people who'd be out recording woodchucks or deer or moose, and while they were making the recording, they would hear that eerie and beautiful sound of a maple tree just bursting apart. It was really, it's something you have to hear to understand.
The Vermont Maple Museum offers a journey into the state's past, complete with mementos of the 19th century, when every schoolchild learned the hard-won lessons of the woods. Vermonters have sung, written, and traded stories about the rigors of maple sap, all the while continuing to watch the industry that encourages tree tapping diminish. It has been hurt by a cheaper syrup knockoff from, of all places, the islands of the South Pacific. Here in Vanabos, formerly Danish Samoa, workers are making a cheaper maple syrup substitute. It's called table syrup. They saw apart used maple tables, chairs, knickknacks. The expense of importing these pieces of furniture halfway around the world is more than made up for by abundant cheap labor, by the lack of unions, health care, government oversight. In the past 4 years, the Vanabossian syrup industry has cut deep into Vermont's maple syrup market. Salomona Lanomiamata is 14 and the mother of two.
I am now taking the sawed-up maple tables and inserting the pieces into the big boiling vat you see here. It is a slow process. It takes 4 weeks for 100 cubic feet of maple wood to be boiled down to make 1 liter of syrup. It requires great patience. I used to sit on the beach all day eating coconut and strumming a ukulele, but this is much better life for me.
Salomona, back to work! And tell that actor doing your voice in English to get out of here!
Please don't shove me, I will do as you say. Please, I mean no harm, I speak Samoan, I'm just doing my job.
And so, only time will tell if the success of this remote Pacific Island rival to the Vermont maple syrup industry will wipe out the sugar houses of New England. Meanwhile, authorities are sifting through the shattered limbs and lives of the forests of the north, hoping, if at all possible, that time will tell. Robert Siegel, NPR News, Fretford, Vermont.